You know, today's topic is so good. When we chose these topics, this meltdown business had not happened. But the Lord knows that we need to have a talk on what are the true riches in life? What is it that you are longing for? More money? More investments? More of this? You know, we recently moved house. And now that the house is settled, whenever I sit there quietly, I see the things. I say, quite good. But the days to enjoy them are very limited. No longer like those old days. You say, well, make a nice house. And then you're sure of 10 years, 20 years to enjoy it. I say, right? No, dear friends. God's word says, you are not sure even of tomorrow. So, as we live, we learn. True riches, what are they? Do you know? It is natural for all of us to have that desire to have more of something. We cannot run away from it. Yes, all of us. You got $100, I wish I had $200. And so on, that desire is in every human breast. You cannot run away from it. But then there is something you can add in for your insurance. A godly insurance to know what is the true riches, which does not take wings and fly off. Who is the richest man on earth in all history? Today, you think of what? There's a man who invented Microsoft. Okay, you say, his wealth is more than some countries. True? Yes. So what? I went to a country nearby called Brunei, and I was told that this little tiny country sits on a whole ocean of gas down below. And the Sultan is so rich. He is said to be the richest man on earth. And as I was in Brunei town, they told me, you know, the Sultan has got 170 cars of the Mercedes BMW category. 170. Well, I say, oh, wow. He must be using every day a new car. Cannot finish in 1 year almost. Amazing business. And I say, so what? We don't need all the cars. What is true wealth? Not to show off. If you have something more, what do you do? These are the things that must occupy our mind. For God has given us a sound mind. And that sound mind must be a godly mind. To think of, if I get so much, there must be a purpose. God does not just give you and say, do what you like. Anyhow, spend. That would be folly, absolute folly. Recently, we have spoken also, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is neutral, please understand. Money is absolutely neutral. Money is only currency to help you move, help you do things that are needful in your sojourn on planet Earth. By itself, money is not evil. But there was a song when I was a medical student. It says, money is the root of all evil. Take it away, take it away, take it away. I said, that is despising the word of God, making it into a song, a meaningless song. Oh, my friend, today we are in a bit of a trouble. Newspaper headlines almost every day and telling of all the woes. Now, yesterday at the Hong Lim Park, we read in the newspapers, about 500 people went there to hope that they will retrieve some of the funds they put into Lehman Brothers. They say it's an old company, so good, so safe. But you know what Solomon says? Nothing is safe on earth. Your money is never safe. No, there is a saying that money takes wings and fly away. You say, how can? Who says so? The wisest of men. Now, we want to learn something from the wisest man who was also the richest of men. I ask you, who do you think is the richest man? Not Bill Gates, not the Sultan, but King Solomon. You agree? Maybe you don't. Now we turn. I have just a few verses from the book of Chronicles. Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, and we are going to read only 5 verses. And if you did not agree that he is the richest man after we read the 5 verses, you will change your mind. Chronicles, the 2nd book, chapter 9. After Kings is Chronicles, all right? Before Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, all those things. All right, please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. We have just 5 verses. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. And in my Bible, the editor and printer of that Bible, in the time when this Bible was printed, probably 30 to 40 years ago, estimated that the 666 talents of gold was worth 127 million American dollars. Right. That's a lot of money. That's per year, you know. You just don't do anything. End of the year, you total up, you got 127 million. Next year, another 127 million. All right. Verse 15. And King Solomon, with his money, made 200 targets of beaten gold. Next verse. 300 shields of beaten gold. Now, what is a target? A target is a small shield. It's just two things describing two different versions of shields. What did he make those shields for? And they were all gold. Answer, show off. It's not for fighting, but to show off. Next verse 20. All the drinking vessels of King Solomon were gold. From time to time, we read of some foolish rich people, and they have their toilets of gold, and their tap heads of gold, and the locks to the dog's kennel of gold and the air condition. That is pure show off. Well, I must confess, as I studied this, I say, Solomon is a great show off, you know. Everything gold. And it says that not even silver. He looked down on silver. He says in Jerusalem, he made the silver so common that it was like stone. Wow. Did he pave the streets with silver? I don't know. But he had so much, he did not know what else to do. Verse 22. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Thank God, not just riches, but God gave him wisdom. You know, some people have no wisdom, but plenty of money. And then, before long, all the money flies away. And finally, verse 25. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots. These are the BMWs and the Mercedes-Benz of that day. So you say, you poor Sultan, you only have 170. Look at King Solomon. 4,000 Mercedes. Wow. How do you cope with them? So this is what he did. A great show off. Dear friends, the first thought that comes to mind is, if God gives you something more, do not show off. But think. Think of what you ought to do. Make a prayer. How about this? Lord, you have given me a 14th month bonus. Some firms pay 4 months bonus. Wow, 15, 16, 17, 18 months bonus. Wow. What shall I do with it? Don't buy Lehman shares. Now everybody knows it's no good. No, dear friends, we must have wisdom besides cash and money and treasure. It says that in this verse 22, Solomon had money plus wisdom. Please pray for wisdom, therefore. Add this to your shopping list, please. I think our prayer list is too stereotyped. Most of us know how to pray for health, for daily needs, for children, for parents' health, and so on and so on. A very stereotyped kind of materialistic prayer. Add to it. Nothing wrong with praying for those things because they are daily needs. Pray for wisdom. Lord, please help me. Whatever you send me, teach me how to utilize. And then things will go smooth. So, what else? When you have, always ask God, how should I use it? Think of the brevity of life. For what is on the morrow, you do not know. Our life is only a vapor. So think, pray. When God gives you wisdom, you are going to find new uses for your money. I always remember the lady who told me, "Doctor, bad thing, you know, happened last night." I said, "What happened?" "A thief broke in, took away my $3,000. I had intended to give to missions." I say, "Very sorry, la." Lesson is, dear friends, make intention action. Pray, if God says it is good to give to a mission, go and give it. Don't keep there for thieves. They will come. And the Lord says, don't store your treasures on earth. If you have treasures, thieves are always there. You know, for the last 40 years, I have learned the perfect method of carrying money when you go out to work every day. My clinic has a little attendance pocketbook. This is all I carry, and seldom more than $50. If I should lose it, only $50. Where did I learn this from? Because one day I had about 200, and that little thing got lost. I said, never again. So you've learned one lesson today. Don't carry a lot of money when you go out. Just enough for the day. All right, now, what do we do with what we have? True riches. Now we come to the lesson proper. True riches. Let's look into another verse of Solomon. And now we go to his famous, most famous book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23. You know where's Proverbs? You know Psalms? Then Proverbs. Please turn to Proverbs, chapter 23. And then we begin to delve into the mind of Solomon, an amazing man. Well, thank God he was not just a show-off, but he was a godly man in some ways. And here he says, chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. All right, please follow verse 4. Solomon says, and that is God's word to us, labor not to be rich. Don't set your mind all the time to get more and more and more. Seize from thine own wisdom, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away. So this is the first bit of wisdom we want to learn. Do not trust in uncertain riches, no matter what it is. I'm not against saving. We all must learn thrift and saving. I'm not against preparing for the old age, for the rainy day, for your children's studies, for the future use. Very important. Beyond that, don't. Set your heart on making more and more, and then the love of money, it says, is the root of all evil, and you go into things that you ought not to do. So, one lesson here I would like to impart to you is, true riches is not measured by what you have. It is measured by what you do with what you have. All right? Have you caught the saying? True riches is not measured by what you have. All right, you have 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, a million, all right. Nothing wrong with having a million. Now, is that riches? Yes and no. True riches is measured not by what you have, but what you do with what you have. I want to illustrate to you the true riches from this weekly bulletin. On one page, you have a list of reports on love gifts. All right, it is on page 4. This is where your riches should go, at least some of your riches, which is true riches. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, just keeping, and then say, I intended to give to missions. I say, make your intentions action. And this is intentions in action. Last week, love gifts to designated funds, right? Page 4. Most of these funds are given anonymously. Nobody knows who gave what, but the recipients will definitely get that money. This I can assure you, because from the time the offering goes into these red bags, they are under surveillance. From the time it is carried to the counting room, it is guarded. Yeah, did you know that? We have people who guard it. Then when it is counted, there are at least a dozen eyes who count together. When it is totaled up, it is recorded. And then when it is finished, it is locked and safe. Then it goes to the bank. So you have this list here to assure you that not a cent goes waste. But I say this is where your money should go. You think about it. For this week, again, I demonstrate to you the meaning of true wealth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but send it to Australia. Yep. This is insert, no paging, but you can see there. And I put these little feedbacks, letters I receive are shared with you from Peter Clemens, the man who was given 2 months to live 5 years ago, and he's still living, and he's still serving the Lord. And he writes to say, I'm extremely tired this week, because if I don't go and have 3.4 liters of fluid drained out from my tummy, the doctor says, I'll be dead in a month. Read about it. And those of you who have pitied on him, have sent in funds, have gone to him, for the first time, he is having the house heated in winter. Now, winter there is not the 10 or 15 degrees. It is minus 10 or 15 degrees there. And now, at last, your money helps him to heat up the house. Is that a luxury? No. But it is a bit of comfort for God's servant. That's where your money goes. This is storing your money in heaven. Yes, those of you who have given, God knows, and He will repay. Now, turn to the opposite side. Another letter from Philippines, the one with two pictures down below. Now, please read these things. They are sent to you for your information that your money does not go waste. Now, we have been helping and supporting Pastor Digna Dise, Leoncio Digna Dise. And over the years, five of his children are all in full-time service. Let me ask, in this congregation, how many families have got one or two in full-time service? Answer, I can almost say nil, not one. Why? Everybody wants to be a lawyer, doctor, school teacher, somebody. But who wants to be a pastor, a missionary, Sunday school teacher full-time? This man has five children. I met four of them when I went to Philippines last year. Read this and see what he's doing. He has somehow befriended the chief of army, chief of air force, chief of police. And they said, Leoncio, come and tell our men they need Jesus. Amazing, in a Roman Catholic country. This is where your money goes. What did he do? He know that his church was devastated by a typhoon last year. And your money went to help him to rebuild that church. Then also, he says, my vehicle is now 29 years old. Let me ask you, is there any one person here who drives a 29-year-old car? Yeah? Now that's what he does, to serve the Lord. And he says, will you please help me buy another one? We send him, I forget, about 12,000 or 13,000, maybe 15,000 sing. And now he's got a resale vehicle, about 10 years old. So happy, he's only 10 years old, not 29. And he goes around preaching to the police, preaching to the army, to the air force. This is laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's two. Now, three. This one. Your money has gone to Bethlehem. Wow. Christmas is coming and we all be singing, oh, little town of Bethlehem. Think of this place. Baraka. What does baraka mean? Those of you who understand Malay, you know what is berkat? Berkat is blessing. Baraka. They are similar, Arabic root. Baraka is the blessing of God, church in Bethlehem. And your money has gone to help them build a church, build a place of worship, a place of teaching of God's word. Lay up your treasures in heaven. These are true treasures, true riches to your account. Nobody knows. Right hand doesn't know what the left hand does with his money. This is what we are all taught in God's word. We don't announce names, but in this sheet that you see every Sunday is an account of how you send your money up to heaven. Because there is no bank that says, come, remit your money, we can send it to heaven, except the bank of Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, I hope you understand this and give meaningfully, prayerfully. Don't be rash in your giving, please, but be rational and be tender-hearted, compassionate when you give. Also think of people who are less fortunate. You know, there is a verse I read to you. Proverbs. Yes, in case you would like to refer to it, it is chapter 19. This is an amazing verse. Amazing verse. Chapter 19, verse 17. This is real good. What does it say here? Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lends his money to the Lord. I say, wow, I'm lending my money to God when I give somebody who is really in need a little gift. Again, do not broadcast. No need to broadcast. The Lord of heaven knows your heart and what you do with your money. But when you see somebody, but not when you travel and there's a street full of beggars. You give one coin, 100 beggars run after you. Don't do that. But think of somebody who is really in need and quietly go and give your gift to help that person. Then it says what? You who have pity upon the poor lends to the Lord. Wonderful. And God becomes your debtor in that sense. God will pour down his blessings on those who have compassion on the less fortunate. When I had my early pay packet, there was a lady in our church who was a widow with four or five children. And as I read this, also in God's Word it says, think of widows and orphans. Ah, I said, that is good. So made a visit, gave a small gift. This is what it says. He who pities the poor lends to the Lord. This is another way of having true riches. It need not be a big gift, but it should be a meaningful gift. And it should be given with dignity. In other words, don't treat the person like a beggar and just, but go carefully with the money wrapped nicely with a Bible verse and seal it in an envelope, respectfully give to the person. And it says here, the Lord will remember you. That which you have given, he will pay you again. Amazing. The Lord is no man's debtor. Now we want to conclude this. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 8, 9. A well-known verse, but I think after today, it will have new meaning. 2 Corinthians 8:9. If you like to read with me, we all read, huh? Verse 9. Together, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You say, well, how come? Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sins. And how did I become rich when I believe on him? Ah, here is the point. What is true riches? It's not measured in dollars and cents. When you have come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's better than you're making any amount of money. You know that? Because there is reserved for you in heaven an inheritance. You know what is an inheritance? Not all inheritances are good because some of them carry a lot of debt, a lot of problem, a lot of trouble, and then you inherit, he says, what for? But this one is genuine. This inheritance in heaven is indestructible, undefiled, fadeth not away, never needs repair, no taxes to pay, and reserved with your name there, waiting for you. This is what happens when you come and trust in this poor man called Jesus. So poor, he got to be born in the manger with the cattle and the animals. You know, all those Christmas cards paint a very beautiful picture. When we went to Bethlehem, he said, let's go and see one. I tell you, the moment you get in, you want to get out. Yes. Animals with all the droppings and things. And this is where our Savior was born. Then it says, though he was rich, our Lord Jesus, in unapproachable light in heaven, in the best super palace you can ever imagine and you cannot imagine, he came down, forsook his riches, came to a manger to be born with animals. What for? Not for the sake of Christmas cards, but for you and for me. That one day he will go straight, as determined by the Father, as he had agreed to do, to go to a place of execution for the worst of criminals. Poor that someone looking at him on the cross will say, that's what I need. At that moment, you become very rich in the things of God, become a child of God. And then you have an inheritance. How rich are you? This is the meaning of this verse. We read it once more, then you will not forget it. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Everybody, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Herein is the true riches. No one can take it away from you. Reserved with your name, waiting for you. On that day, you say, now I understand. What is true riches? Owning on earth all the millions that some rich people, at the time of the last breath, did he say, hey, please let me have a million in my hands. My dear friends, true riches is not on earth. True riches is up there. And God has opened a way for you to send your riches up there. They will accrue to your account. I close with a request for prayer. I mentioned the shopping list. All of us have a shopping list. I don't need to teach you how to pray, what to pray for. We all know it. Add to it. Lord, I want to be truly rich. Open my eyes to understand what is true riches. What is it? To know Jesus and to make him known. That is a true riches. That's why I gave my life. That's why I left the university. What for? That others may know. Because I go and tell them. I say, you do the same. That is a true riches. Tell others about Jesus. Nothing better that you can do. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant us that spiritual discernment, wisdom from above that comes from thee alone, to know where is the true riches, that we will not set our hearts on things below, but on things above, where dwells our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and the place prepared for prepared people. O Lord our God, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law, and to behold the true riches for those who follow thee. Amen.